Neon veins in a midnight town. Red tide running up and down. Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Okay, let's just dive right in and unpack one of the most fundamental jobs your body is doing literally every second of every day: managing your blood chemistry.
It's constant.
Right. So when your tissues burn energy, they create carbon dioxide, CO2. And that CO2, it immediately gets converted into bicarbonate right there in your bloodstream.
And that bicarbonate has to get out of the red blood cell, travel through your veins, and then get released as CO2 from your lungs. And it all has to happen, well, incredibly fast.
What happens if it doesn't?
If that process slows down even a little, your blood pH plummets, it becomes more acidic, and things get very dangerous very quickly.
So how does the body handle this huge high-speed chemical transit system? It relies on this workhorse of a molecular machine that's embedded in the membrane of every single red blood cell.
And it's not a rare protein. This machine is so common, it makes up about a quarter of all the protein mass in that membrane. Yeah. It's called anion exchanger 1, or AE1. People sometimes call it BAN3. And for years, we've known what it does, but we're only now really understanding how it's controlled.
And that's what we're digging into today, this new understanding that the protein physically moves like a tiny elevator. And its motion is controlled by these two opposing forces.
Right. The ion it carries acts almost like a lubricant, speeding it up. But the fatty molecules around it, the lipids, they act as a crucial molecular brake.
Our mission in this deep dive is to synthesize the findings from the collaborative research that really mapped out this beautiful control system.
Absolutely. So today we're celebrating the work that revealed this whole regulatory dance. It's a combination of structural biology and some really advanced computing.
The work comes from the article Impact of Anionic Lipids on the Energy Landscape of Conformational Transition in Anion Exchanger 1, AE1, which was published in Nature Communications in 2025.
And we should give a huge shout out to the team behind it. We're talking about Tianla Chen, Francesca Vallez, Eva Gilly-Turb, Kukshu Kim, Tito Kali, Matthias Quick, Oliver B. Clark, and Imad Takorshid.
That's a big collaboration.
A huge one, spanning institutions like the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Columbia University. And their approach was so clever because they didn't just get a static picture with cryo-EM.
Which is hard enough on its own.
Oh, incredibly hard. But they combine that with these sophisticated molecular dynamics simulations, which are basically atomic level movie cameras, to calculate the precise energy cost of the protein's movement.
And that energy calculation,
yeah,
that's the whole ballgame.
That is the absolute key to understanding how it's all regulated.
Okay, so let's ground this for everyone. What is AE1 actually doing inside our red blood cells?
So its main job is something called electroneutral anion exchange.
A one-for-one swap, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfect trade. It takes one bicarbonate ion, which comes from the CO2 in your tissues, and it pushes it out of the cell. In exchange, it pulls one chloride ion into the cell. That specific trade is called the chloride shift.
And without that shift, your entire acid-base balance, your pH homeostasis, it just falls apart.
It does. It's this rapid fire system that lets your body safely transport all that CO2 to your lungs to be exhaled.
The clinical importance must be huge then.
Enormous. You know, mutations in the gene for AE1, which is called SLC4A1, they cause really serious conditions. Things like hereditary spherocytosis, where your red blood cells get misshapen, and also distal renal tubular acidosis.
That's where the kidneys can't regulate acid properly.
Exactly. So if this transporter is broken, your body's ability to manage CO2 and pH is directly compromised.
Let's get into the mechanics of it. The elevator analogy you mentioned is fascinating. How does a protein move something across a membrane without just, you know, punching a hole in it?
Well, that's the elegant solution. It's something called an elevator mechanism. Just think of the protein as having two main parts. There's the scaffold domain, or SD, which is like the building frame anchored in the membrane.
Okay, so that part's stationary.
Right. And then you have the transport domain, or TD. That's the movable cab of the elevator.
And the binding site for the ion is inside that cab.
Exactly. So when the TD is up, the binding site is open to the outside of the cell. That's what we call the outward facing state, or OF.
And then it moves.
It physically slides down through the membrane. When it's down, the site opens to the inside of the cell, the inward-facing state, or IF. This movement ensures there's never an open channel, so the membrane stays intact.
And the big scientific challenge was catching the elevator in that IF state, right? The down position.
It's like trying to photograph a dancer mid-leap, as you said. The protein is so mobile, and that state is so unstable. And that brings us right to the methodology here. The team used this 1-2 punch. First, cryo-EM.
The high-resolution snapshot.
Right, and they got three of them. The expected outward-facing state, and this is the big part two distinct inward-facing states, they call them IF1 and IF2.
Getting those IF states at high resolution, that's a major accomplishment. How did they freeze the elevator mid-movement?
They were clever. They used native human red blood cell membranes, the actual shells, and they treated them with a chemical crosslinker called DSP before they purified the protein.
A crosslinker, so it's like a chemical staple.
A perfect way to describe it. It staples the moving parts together in that downward IF conformation just long enough for them to purify it and get that snapshot.
So that gives us the static images. How do you turn a photo into a movie? More importantly, how do you figure out how much energy it takes to move that elevator?
That is where the supercomputers come in. With molecular dynamics or MD simulations, they built a virtual model of AE1 inside a perfect replica of a red blood cell membrane.
Okay.
But standard MD would take literally millions of years of computer time to see one of these transitions happen. So they use these enhanced sampling techniques.
Okay, the acronyms are coming. Lay it on us.
It's a mouthful, but it's called bias exchange umbrella sampling, or BEUS.
BEUS. So what does that actually do?
Think of it this way. You want to map the energy it takes to hike over a mountain pass. BEUS is like having a team that physically drags a ball over that pass step by step and measures the resistance at every single point.
So you're not waiting for it to happen randomly. You're forcing it through every possible position between up and down.
You are. And by measuring how much force or bias you need at each step, you can construct the whole map. It's called the free energy profile.
The energy map. That shows you the hills and valleys the protein has to climb to do its job.
Precisely. If the hill is high, the process is slow. If the hill is low, it's fast. And by mapping this under different conditions, empty, with an ion, with that brake lipid, they could see exactly what hits the gas and what hits the brakes.
So let's get into those findings, starting with the structure. It's a dimer, two units, and we know the key movement is a couple of helices sliding.
Yeah.
What about the ion itself? Where does it sit?
So structurally, they confirmed the binding site is really governed by a few key residues, but one is critical, arginine 730, or R730. It sits right in that anion cavity, ready to grab the bicarbonate.
And the simulations actually saw this happening.
Oh, yeah. They captured spontaneous binding and unbinding of both chloride and bicarbonate. It was happening in real time in the computer.
No, its whole job is to move bicarbonate.
Yeah.
So did this study show that it prefers bicarbonate over chloride?
Absolutely. The calculations showed a much higher affinity for bicarbonate. In that outward-facing state, it binds bicarbonate at about 22 millimolar, but for chloride, the affinity is way lower, around 255 millimolar.
So it's built to prioritize bicarbonate.
It is engineered to do just that.
Okay, so that's the preference. Now, for the speed-up effect, you said the bicarbonate acts like a lubricant?
Does
it actually make the elevator's journey easier?
It's the ultimate lubricant. When they calculated the energy map for the empty protein versus the protein with bicarbonate bound inside, the binding of that single ion lowered the energy barrier for the whole trip by about 3 kilocalories per mole.
3 kilocomol. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but in the molecular world, what does that translate to in terms of speed?
It is a colossal change. A colossal change. Lowering the barrier by 3 kilocomol means the speed of the transition, the rate at which it flips, is accelerated by a factor of over 100.
100 times faster.
Yes. So bicarbonate isn't just a passenger, it is a chemical accelerator pedal. It makes the whole cycle dramatically more efficient.
What's the molecular reason for that? How does it do it?
It's this really beautiful, subtle stabilization. The bicarbonate, by binding, it stabilizes the halfway point, the transition state. It helps that key arginine, R730, form a temporary bond, a cation pi contact with another residue.
Okay.
And that contact acts like a little bridge, stabilizing the intermediate shape and just making the whole movement easier.
So that's the accelerator. But the really surprising part of this whole story is what they found actively stops the protein. We've talked about the lubricant, but now let's talk about the brake.
Exactly. And the brake is one of the lipids in the membrane itself. It's called phosphatidyl inositol, 4-C-5-bisphosphate, but let's just call it PIP2.
Please. So how do they even know to look at PIP2?
Well, the first clue came from these functional experiments, these uptake assays. They put the AE1 protein into artificial cell bubbles and measured its activity.
And what happened when they messed with the PIP2 levels?
The results were totally counterintuitive. They used enzymes to chew up the PIP2 to get rid of it. And when they did that, the transport activity for bicarbonate just shot up. It increased significantly.
Oh, wait. You take a molecule away and the machine works faster.
Exactly. It was the smoking gun. It showed, unequivocally, that PIP2 is a powerful inhibitor of AE1 activity. It is the molecular break in the system.
And they could reverse it.
They could. When they added pure PIP2 back in, the activity slowed right back down. It confirmed PIP2 is the direct regulator.
Yep. So we need to understand how this tiny lipid engages the brake pedal on this massive protein elevator. Where does it bind?
Both the cryo-EM pictures and the computer simulations found it. The PIP2 molecules bind at a very specific spot, the intracellular interface, where the two AE1 subunits meet. It's not a random interaction, it's a dedicated regulatory site.
Okay, so how does binding there stop the elevator from moving down?
Right, so in the outward-facing state, the up position, the brake is on, there's a specific residue, lysine 743 or PEI 743, on a flexible loop of the moving part, the transport domain.
Okay.
And that lysine forms a really stable salt bridge, an electrostatic connection, directly with the charged head group of the PIP2 lipid in the membrane.
So K743 is like a hook on the elevator cab, and the PIP2 is the anchor point on the floor. It's physically tethering it in the up position.
That is the mechanism, perfectly stated. To start moving down to the inward-facing state, that stable bond between K743 and PIP2 has to be broken. And breaking a bond costs energy.
And did the energy map, the free energy calculation, confirm that cost?
It did. The presence of PIP2 at that spot elevates the free energy barrier for the whole conformational change by about 2 kilocalories per mole.
Wow.
So this is the quantified molecular reason for that strong inhibitory effect they saw in the lab experiments.
That is such a fascinating balance. You have the bicarbonate lubricant lowering the barrier by 3 kmol, and then you have the PIP2 brake raising the barrier by 2 kmol.
Mm.
The net effect is this incredibly delicate, sensitive regulation of speed. It ensures the transporter doesn't just run wild, unless the need for bicarbonate exchange is critically high.
It really just highlights how these very local lipid-protein interactions, things we might have just ignored before, can exert this profound global control over a vital protein. It's a stunning example of integration at the membrane level.
There was one other point from the findings. The energy profile showed that the fully inward-facing state, the down elevator, is actually at a higher energy level than the outward-facing state. Why is it important that the default is up?
That makes perfect physiological sense. In a red blood cell, its main job is to get bicarbonate out into the blood plasma. So if its default, lowest energy state is already open to the outside, it's primed and ready to do its job more efficiently.
And that also explains why that inward state is so hard to capture structurally.
Exactly. It's intrinsically less stable. They only caught it here because they use that chemical crosslinker to kind of force it to hold still.
So if we synthesize this whole thing down for the listener, the core insight is this system of incredible dual control. The AE1 transporter uses this elevator to manage blood pH, and the elevator speed is controlled by the sensitive energy balance.
Mm-hmm.
The cargo, bicarbonate, acts like a lubricant, lowering the energy barrier by about 3 kmol. And at the same time, this lipid, PIP2, acts as a powerful molecular brake, raising that same barrier by 2 kmol by physically tying the moving parts down.
A remarkable discovery that really bridges the gap between a static protein structure and the dynamic biophysics of the cell membrane.
And that leads to the provocative prompt this study raises. We know that mutations in AE1 cause diseases like distal renal tubular acidosis, where the transporter is impaired. Could this discovery of the PIP2 brake mechanism offer a totally new therapeutic path?
Mm.
What if, instead of trying to design a drug that fiddles with the ion binding site itself, you could target the AE1-PIP2 interaction? Could you find a way to just release the molecular brake and treat these diseases?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
do oh you do 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 oh 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 do 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 do. Neon veins in a midnight town. Red tide running up and down. I'll ride the lift through a protein frame. Two doors, one truth, no coin to claim. Chloride in bicarbonate out. Quiet trade without a shout. But something dark in the inner seam holds my emotion like a dream. Click, caught on a phosphate chain. Grip so tight it feels like pain. I can't turn. Pick two on the brake, slow to switch, slow to sway. I'm an elevator heart in the membrane ballet. Let the body light the way, let the barrier break. When the signal finds the pocket, I can move what I take. They are pick two on the brake. Whoa. Hear the city vibrate. Whoa. Pull the lock, free the swing. Assault bridge night, I can't erase. All 7:30 dreams of salt and sky. But the hinge won't let it fly. Then bicarbonate slips in close. Ooh. Like a key in a silent toast. Ooh. The landscape bends, the cloud gets small, and the whole that tether line, let the core domain realign. I can tilt, I can glide, trade the outside for the inside. Here I pip two on the brake, slow the switch, slow the sway. I'm an elevator heart in a membrane ballet. Let the body light the way, let the barrier break. When the signal finds the pocket, I can move what I take. Huh. Yeah, I pip two on the brake. Oh, hear the city vibrate. Oh, pull the lock, free the swing. Oh, let the transport accelerate. In the pressure of the plasma night. Not noise, just grip. A whisper of ions, a measured spin. The doorway opens from within, and every charge goodbye I send is a map back to balance again. Yeah, I picked two on the break, but I'm breaking free today. Layer up the lift, let the last refrain levitate. When the pocket holds a spark, I don't hesitate. I switch, I slide, I trade, clean and precise, no wait. Yeah, I pit two on the brake. Do 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 do